It's focusing on how we connect with God, but our prayer life, which is what we're going to be talking about, is always concerning other people. I mean, our prayers are quite common involving needs of others that we're aware of. Sometimes it's health needs. Sometimes it's employment. Sometimes it's emotional strength. Other times it's that they would even find that connection with God that we want them to discover. So I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 11. If you've got a Bible, you're welcome to follow along with me. This is a place where Jesus is doing some teaching on prayer, and there's some good stuff here. So Luke chapter 11, the Gospel of Luke, and I'm reading, by the way, from the New International Version. If yours is different, it's probably because you're looking at a different translation, and that's okay. We derive strength from, you know, turning the jewel and seeing different reflections, and that's what those various kinds of translations will do for us. So God bless you if you're reading from another one. But this is New International. Luke 11, starting at verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So Jesus begins to teach them. He said, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" We're going to stop just very briefly at that point, because I think all of us recognize that that's what we call the Lord's Prayer. But it's a little more abbreviated, isn't it? We've picked up through both tradition and through the various other Gospels of Matthew and Mark, we pick up other language that we include in it, and it's all good. It's all good. So we ought to just say that together. And because people use different versions, debts or transgressions, sins, we're going to say, forgive us our sins. We're going to use just the simple word sins like it does in this text. So say the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Is that it? Is that where Jesus and his teaching on prayer in this passage, is that where it stops? No, it keeps going. And these are wonderful words. I'm all for praying those words. I mean, that's why we did it. I believe in praying those words. I believe in singing those words. How many of you have ever sung the Lord's Prayer? Or maybe you've heard somebody else sing the Lord's Prayer. Yeah. They're beautiful, powerful words. But the teaching on prayer doesn't stop there. So we're going to keep reading. Now, the text goes on, and it sort of feels like, Lord, teach us to pray. Okay, here's how to pray. Now, we're going to go on to something else. No. Still on focus. Still on topic. Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, Jesus said, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, Yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So, I say to you, Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So we're talking about prayer and the power behind it. And in that context, Jesus tells this story of someone who has a need. Principle number one for prayer, you have to be needy. You have to have something, you have to need something that you don't have, something that you need outside resources to provide for you. And that's what Jesus said, God is going to provide. So let's talk about the story. We already did a responsive reading, right? Psalm 138, I think it was. And you remember, it was up here on the screen, and some of the words were white, and that's what the leader said, and some of the words were green, and that was the part that the congregation said. Well, let's kind of use that format to sort of get ourselves into the story of this friend who comes at midnight. So here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do a responsive reading, and in the responsive reading, your part is really easy. Your part, in fact, is four words. Give us some bread. All right? That's your part, and you're going to say it seven times in a row, and I'll respond each time, okay? And each time that you say your part, I want you to say it with a little more strength and a little more volume. So your part, give us some bread. Start.
Give us some bread.
No.
Give us some
no.
Give us some bread.
No. No, that was four.
Give us some bread.
No!
Give us some bread.
Not a chance.
Give us some bread.
All right. Fine. Give me a minute. Man. How many loaves?
Three.
I knew it was three. I was just checking to see if you were listening. Three loaves. Loaf number one. Loaf number two. Oh, yeah. How about way in the back with this one? Oh, yeah. See, there's that roof line that's going to keep me from getting it all the way back there, Jasmine. But, ooh. Oh, did you see the spiral on that? Yeah. Now, okay. Shameless audacity. That's how the NIV translated it. Because of your shameless audacity, other translations say, because of your persistence, right? Prayer and the power behind it. So, the power behind prayer is persistence. It's not giving up, right? No, come on. You know better than that. Persistence is something that comes from me. If prayer is going to have any power, It's not going to come from me. It's not going to come from you. Power has got to come from somewhere outside of ourselves. Remember, if we're praying, it means there's a need in our lives that we've already used all of our power, all of our strength, all of our resources, and we still have a need. So we pray. The power for prayer is going to have to come from outside of ourselves. It's going to have to come from God. So, okay, then you would be right if you said, okay, Rick, then why the emphasis on persistence? Why the focus on the shameless audacity of prayer? I mean, it must be important in some way. Well, it is. Jesus is saying, I want you to keep coming. I don't want you to make one of two mistakes. I never want you to make the mistake that God gets tired of you, that God is fed up and sick and tired of you coming with requests. Don't believe that. Right? Don't believe it. But I also don't want you to think that once ought to be enough, or that there's something wrong if you come back. No. God says, keep coming. In fact, there's another story. Some of you are familiar with the story of what the Bible calls the unjust judge. It's a story in the Gospels where Jesus talks about a woman who had a case before a judge. And Jesus goes out of the way to say in the story, this judge did not care about people or about God. I don't know what he cared about, but he didn't care about people or God. And this widow comes again and again and again to this judge until finally, and this is exactly what Jesus says, the judge says to himself, I don't care about God or people, but this lady's making me crazy. I'm going to give her what she wants so that she'll leave me alone. Now, isn't it interesting that in these two stories, teaching us to be persistent and filled with shameless audacity when we pray, the part of God is assigned to someone who's very unlike God. Jesus tells the story and he says, God is like that neighbor at midnight who really doesn't want to get out of bed. Really? Or God is like this judge who doesn't really care about people, but he'll give you what you want just to get you out of his hair. Really? Don't get misfocused on that. Jesus has to work with something that we understand, something in our world that makes sense to us. It's like that passage in the Psalms that says, God will cover you under his wings. Really? God has wings? Don't worry about that. He's drawing a picture. He's saying, just like you see the tender care of a mama bird pulling her chicks under the wings, that's the kind of tender care that God has for you. Jesus is saying, God wants you to come, and God can be relied on, and you don't have to worry about offending God by coming to him again and again and again. He wants that. Well, so how come it is? And this is, I'll be honest with you, this is part of my struggle with prayer. Is that there are times when things that we ask for, things that we pray about don't come to pass. Why would that be true? Jesus isn't done. I'm starting at verse 11. I'm still in Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the things that you ask for? Is that what it says? If you're following along, you know it's not what it says. Let me read it again, and this time I'll quote it accurately. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Kind of creepy. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Prayer and the power behind it. The power behind prayer is, first of all, the love of God. A love that is boundless for you. For you. For you. God loves you passionately. And he loves you, he loves me, he loves us so much. And he is so wise about our needs that he even knows when the things that we ask for are not necessarily the things that we need the most. So, what does that mean? Does that mean that sometimes we will pray and God will give us the things that we ask for? And other times we will pray and God will not give. No. Wrong paradigm. Wrong image. What Jesus is saying is, no matter what you pray, and no matter what else may happen, God's desire is to give you his Holy Spirit. God's desire is to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. And the fuller you become with God's Spirit, the less concerned you will be with whether or not you receive this or that. See, prayer changes things, but the main thing prayer changes is my heart. He changes my heart. And sometimes, as he changes my heart, he changes the things that my heart wants. And other times, he looks at my heart and says, your heart is so much like mine that the things that you want are the same things that I want. And he fulfills those. We're going to look at one more passage of Scripture, and we're going to do that as part of the benediction. For right now, just as we close, let's think about the power behind prayer. The real power behind prayer is God, revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And this God that we see in the face of Jesus loves you and is wise about the greatest needs of your heart and is passionate about fulfilling his plan in your life. Keep coming, keep asking, keep trusting, and let God's work have its ultimate intent. Will you join me in prayer? Jesus, thank you for your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your mercy to us. Thank you for the wisdom that knows us and our needs even better than we know ourselves. Teach us to trust you, Jesus. Teach us to trust you more deeply than we have been trusting. Teach us to love you more deeply. Jesus, teach us to follow you. And I'm just going to pray on behalf of all of us, Lord. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit. In fact, church, I'm even going to invite you right now to pray along with me. Just say these words. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let's say that together. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Say it again. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit longs to come and make his home in your life and has done that if you've trusted in Jesus. But there's a difference between having the Spirit living in us as a follower of Jesus and being filled, which means ultimately giving complete control to him. When we pray, fill me with your Spirit, we are saying, be the one in charge. Be the one in control. I take my hands off this steering wheel of my life, Jesus, and I give it to you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Be the one who steers this life. Say that prayer with me again. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you'll do that. And I pray that as you are more fully in control of our lives, because we take the wheel out of your hands so often, but as we turn control over to you, Jesus, we pray that you might steer our lives in new directions that bless your name and that bless and encourage our brothers and sisters and that bless those beyond your community of faith so that we can have that fully balanced three-dimensional life that brings honor to your name, God. We pray in Jesus' name.